All right, we continue in this Elders course. We're on session 10, and we're talking about evaluating ministry.
Yeah, you're going to find this is very important as overseer, right? But there are times that you have to step back and look at the ministry and say, how are things going? And so there are many different ways that this can be done. We're going to suggest one process to you that has been found helpful. And if we talk about essential evaluation, this one is one that's provided by a group called Horizon Stewardship. And so we'll run through it and encourage you to evaluate ministry. Right.
Yeah.
Utilize this or some other process that you may be aware of from business or whatever. But so some of the things you will have to include in that process are included here.
Yeah, there are practical steps to measure and enhance your ministry impact as an elder. So, again, this is so important because if we don't evaluate, we could maybe miss where there is some concerns, some holes, some gaps. So I think it's really important, again, like we've been saying in some of the previous sessions, you need to have that clear mission, that clear ministry objectives. You need to define, what are the key ministry indicators that things are going well? Because, one of the things that Christian Leaders have been in the process of accreditation, and one of the areas we've realized that we're weakest on is evaluating. We hear positive feedback a lot, but we don't have that data to actually evaluate widespread. And so it's important that you're able to maybe put in place some spots where you can have indicators, whether that be a survey to your congregation each year, whether that be a way where you can get data that you can then utilize to grow your effectiveness. And again, the outcome of that is to really equip yourself with actionable tools, awareness, to then lead with more clarity and competence.
Yeah. And the scriptures here, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do it all for the glory of God. And the plans of the diligent proverb lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Just how important planning is. So here's step one.
What does effectiveness mean in your role as an elder? So, some of the things we talk about is maybe you're a shepherding elder. Maybe you're more of a leading elder, a person making those key decisions. So you have to identify what are the measurable goals that align with the church's mission and vision. And again, collaborating with leadership and volunteers to help establish these objectives. Again, if you do this evaluation on your own and you're not collaborating, that could end up causing some issues. So making sure that as you're identifying these measurable goals, that they align to the church's mission and vision.
Mm-hmm. And, a verse to consider, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. Habakkuk 2. The context there is, if you got the vision, you got to write it down. You have to have people know it. And, that's the background there.
So identifying those key ministry indicators. So again, they have to be specific. They need to be measurable. So some examples might be, what has been the weekly worship attendance each week? What is the rate of new members? And are they being mentored? Maybe that's a really important thing. What's the participation of the church in the various projects? Again, a tip that, maybe you don't have any key indicators yet. You got to start small. Choose two or three that will directly reflect, again, what is your biggest ministry goal, mission, and vision.
Yeah.
And again, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So again, these indicators are important because when we're bearing much fruit as an elder and as a church, that will make an impact. Again, realistic goals, but starting small, it matters that you have a clear benchmark for success. Ensuring that, again, it's achievable and it aligns. So, again, example, maybe if you were mentoring new members as a goal, you want to set a target of, okay, in this quarter, we're going to pair 10 new members with 10 mentors. And, again, it's important that it's achievable. It's something that you can measure and see. So maybe you ended up being able to pair 9. And out of the 9, 8 of the mentorships went really, really well. That's going to tell you something of what you were able to do in having these clear benchmarks. And, again, going back to that, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So keep praying over these goals. Keep, keeping the Holy Spirit and God at the center of them.
Yeah, this is really fun. Commit your work to the Lord, your plans will be established. Actually, you'll find that leadership will usually really enjoy this process. It's challenging, certainly, but when you start setting targets, what are we really trying to do? You know,
right.
What is our mission? Well, you know, it breaks down to several things. Are people worshiping God? Are they coming to faith? Are children and young people or adults being discipled into faith? And to look and say, wow, let's put this out there. If we have a goal, then we have to start saying, oh, how do we get there? Well, let's look at that. Oh, yeah, step four.
Collect and organize the data. So, again, you want to track that same data point. One of the things that I think can be a struggle is if you're not keeping that consistent data measurement, you could end up getting maybe skewed results. So making sure it's the same thing. That's by something like, you know, again, that's a hard line of how many people are being mentored right now, how many are saying it's going successfully, and keeping that metric the same over a period of time. And so it's important that you have to train, you know, whether this team be the elders that you're working with on this various project, or maybe, again, maybe you're taking this class and you're the pastor. You need to train your elders then to understand what data they need to collect and why it matters. And again, the Bible really encourages us. Here's Paul encouraging, let all things be done decently and in order.
Yeah, and just as an example, look at the data here.
Yeah.
This is the membership data of a church that I worked with, and I was kind of a consultant help to the pastor. But one of the things, they kept really good data. Went back years. In fact, you'll notice this is a 20-year spread.
Wow.
And it's looking at, how many professing members do they have on their membership rolls? That's the blue line. How many baptized members? In other words, that's children. This was a church that baptized children. That's the red line. Mm-hmm. The total number of those is the green line, and the purple one is the worship service. How many people attend worship on a regular basis? Now, this church was going along, and it was starting to experience some conflict, starting to experience some challenge, and certainly some financial challenge. And so I put this on a graph, and I got to tell you that when they looked at data, and because of picture, it was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the slant and you create a trend line on that graph,
right.
It's... So I sat down, I had a group of people, I got together some leaders, we called ourselves a master planning team, and said, okay, how long do you think this church has before it's dead?
Right, if it continues this similar trend,
right.
What's the projection here?
And we decided it had about 5 years, and it was fascinating. I mean, just, again, it's the picture, they'd had the numbers. But it was the picture that
right,
all of a sudden...
Right, when they see this, yeah. This starts to motivate people and drive them to go, we got to do something.
Right,
here.
And but it was a fascinating response. So we went from that team, and the next step was to share it with influential leaders in the church. And so I invited people three different times, if you can make it, I want to talk to you about this stuff, and shared this stuff. And the reactions were twofold. I mean, there's one person in one of this group of leaders who said, it's too late, it's too late.
Yeah.
We're going to die. And in fact, that was one of those great moments in church leadership, because one person is saying, it's too late, we're going to die. Another person, his wife had a very serious illness, and said, you know, so I think of this in terms of my wife. I love this church. It's part of who I am. And, you know, if my wife is sick, what I say to the doctors is, oh, she's going to die. I say, is there anything that can be done? When they say, well, yes, we can try this, and try this, and try this. So I'm going to try whatever there is to restore
right.
her to
yeah.
health. And so, like I say, this is one of those where all of a sudden the mood in that room mm-hmm. changed from this negative guy who's saying, we're going to die, to, hey, what can we do? What can we do? And so we had switched that evaluation time to a planning time in a short time and said, okay, what can we do? And came up with what I thought were some very, very important
wise ideas.
And that is, step five is analyze and interpret the data.
Right, which you're giving a great example here with a chart and a graph that's showing the trends, looking at what's happening, and then you start to be able to go, okay, what can we do? What are some areas that need the biggest improvement? You know, and even on that graph, for example, it looked like those that were baptized with babies was especially gone down. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's an area where what strategies can we put into place to try to maybe bring in younger families, mm-hmm. or try to do this or that, and again, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down, count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it. So again, when we're analyzing and interpreting this data, we're really sitting down and going, okay, here's what we have right now. Here's what we're desiring to do. How can we sit down and make that be able to be something we can do in the team that we have, the elders we have, the people we have at this church?
Yeah. In fact, that church, we began planning, and planning is another issue, which... yeah, we'll get to it. In fact, there's another class that you can take that will give you tools to do some strategic planning. But they began to look at that ministry then and say, okay, what do we need to do? And part of it was spiritual, because you'll notice that in each of those lines, there was a leveling and then another decline, And each of the leveling parts were when a new pastor came. And the decline was when conflict came over that new pastor. And so the church had to do some confession about how it was treating its pastors. Mm. And had to say, that's something we can change. And began to develop programs, as said, develop programs to say, what can we do to address this fact that we're getting older as a congregation? Right. What can we do to, what do we need to offer to attract young families? What do we need? So... So analyzing the data, okay.
Right, it can be very humbling, like you said, helping you realize, oh, if we didn't look at this data, maybe we wouldn't realize that that was what was going on.
Right, so we're using the tools and use them, whatever data you choose to keep, use them well, identify what's working or replicate it, recognize areas for improvement or adapt strategies for that. But the whole idea of evaluation is, how are we doing? And what is that looking like? And step 6.
Yeah, I think this is good. Communicate and celebrate success. So, again, why celebrate? It's important that, you know, here's a church, or this example we're talking about. There's a lot of things that maybe aren't going right, and that trends are showing that. But there is things that you're going to see and go, hey, we just figured out that, you know, X amount of people really feel that they have grown spiritually this year, and that's way up from the year before. So when there is, you know, milestones that are meant, can really encourage your team, encourage the congregation, build momentum, and again, sharing some of those success stories as with the elder team, as an elder sharing, and highlighting them, and it really gives an opportunity to really share how people's contribution, whether that's through time, talent, and resources, is making such an impact. And again, going just to that verse of rejoice in the Lord always, I'll say it again, rejoice. So even in a process where maybe you're realizing there's a lot of issues, there's going to be ways that God's been showing up, and encourage your team in this process through communicating these processes.
John Cotter is a businessman, a business professor at Harvard University, and another person that has been one of my mentors. And he wrote a book called Leading Change years ago, and it's become kind of a classic. But in this area, what he says is you've got to celebrate short-term wins. Let the church know, as she said, let the church know that we've done something well. God is blessing this. And you know, who knows what that might be, whatever the data shows. Like, say, somebody, people are reporting spiritual growth. Hey, hooray. That's wow. You know, people have experienced God in worship, if it's a change in worship that's done now. Anything that's a short-term win, every baptism. One church that I did some work with, they got a new pastor. They've been declined for years and years and years. They went through this process of evaluating what was going on. And, one of the things they wanted to see was more people professing their faith. And I watched online a service where they had a celebration where two teenagers were going to share their faith and baptize. And it was done with such celebration. the guy, pastor, understood how important this was.
Right.
And it was done. And once that was done... people are ready to say, okay, that was so much fun. You know, what's next?
It
builds that momentum toward the future that is, yeah, just incredible. As Abby was saying, people will be ready to give. They'll be ready to stand up and volunteer. People want to be where God is doing something. And so share that important wins.
You know, and I think what one of the huge parts of this process is it does build trust and it strengthens leadership. So when you're able to regularly be reevaluating, redefining your goals and strategies, and using these data-driven decisions to foster more transparency and trust, that creates a sustainable ministry. So even if somebody's, you know, you've got elder terms, when a new elder comes in, they know what's being done, and it's able to create a sustainable ministry that keeps positively impacting the church and the community. So this verse here from Corinthians, moreover, it's required of stewards that they must be found faithful. So when you show this data and you're communicating to the church, even the things that are going poorly, that does build trust, and it strengthens the leadership to go, here's where we're struggling, and we're being transparent about where we're struggling too.
Yeah. Trust is an important part of church leadership, and where it exists, trust in leadership is those are the churches that are able to make change, and change is needed, generally speaking. The churches that don't change, wow, you can see them. I am not actively at this time pastoring a church, and so I get to, and with thanks to the modern computer technology, I can check in on various churches. And a while back, I just said, I wonder what's happening at one of the major churches in my denomination. And so I clicked on there and thought, what happened? Because here's this huge church sanctuary, and it was probably seating for 600 people, and there were maybe 100 there. And I'm watching this worship service and realize nothing has changed in the worship service. Nothing. It's using the worship service from years ago. And when you look at who is there in that 100 people, the average median age was probably in over 60. In fact, one church I remember saying they now have a youth group, an elder, because somebody under 60 joined their church. And that was their youth group, was a 55-year-old man. If you don't change, you die. That is the way. But in order to change, you need the trust. You need the trust of the congregation.
Right. And otherwise, more conflict will occur when that trust is lacking.
Right. And you may have to pick up from a pastor who blew it. And that created a lack of trust in leadership, and you've got to overcome that. Work with elders. Elders, if you're in that situation, you work in those situations to restore trust, to be transparent, because trust is the key that will allow you to take next steps. And when you have it, people are willing to follow. When there's success, people are willing to follow. And that's in big steps and in little ones. So, as an elder, make sure that ministry is evaluated, and God will bless it.